coming up?
I'm a Renaissance workman.
Simmering, I loved that.
I am so lightheaded now, I didn't get the third line out.
That is the accent of the day, I think. I'm going to do that.
And here is the poor blind dog.
I've had these characters in my head for about 7 years now.
That must be quite difficult to hear someone else do them then.
How do you say that?
For sure.
The fury is understated, isn't it?
I've got the checkbook out.
A bit before my time, obviously I'm not that old.
Do you write in character?
And now, enjoy the podcast.
How do you say that?
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 Hello and welcome to today's episode of How Do You Say That, sponsored by BritishVoiceOver.co.uk. This is Samantha Boffin.
Hello. And this is Mark Rice.
Did you like the build-up there?
Yes, I did like it.
Every week, along with a very special guest, we set out to prove that there's more than just one way to read a script.
Yes, indeed. So if you use a mic professionally as a voiceover artist, a director, an actor, or a podcaster, or anyway, you like to use a mic, then this is the podcast for you.
Yes. Now, today's fun fact about Sam is that every morning she geekily plays games on the New York Times app while she slowly wakes up. Is that Wordle?
Yeah. Well, it's a number of things. They've got a lot of different... There are three that I do in the same order every morning.
And are you good?
Well, I'm good at Wordle. I'm good at Wordle.
I'm terrible at Wordle.
I'm not so good on Connections, which is the first one I do. I go Connections, right. Wordle, and then I do the mini crossword.
I'm very impressed. It has to be about 11 o'clock in the morning before I can cope with any of them. Yes.
I just slowly wake up to those with a very big cafetiere of coffee by me.
Fair.
And Mark's not so fun fact, actually, Mark, I'm going to take issue with this one, is that apparently he owns two electric style tennis bat fly killers.
Yeah, exactly. When there are flies, I don't like them, so I can forehand them or backhand them across the room.
Yes,
and they
I'm
electrocute.
Giving you a very hard stare here.
Sorry, but I don't like flies. They're all God's creatures though, aren't they?
I don't know about that. I don't know if we go that far. But anyway.
Fair enough. Okay, thank goodness for that. Well, of course, we also have a special guest who this week is Debs Wardle. Hello, Debs.
Hello, very exciting to be here.
Just
Hello.
Down the road from me. I have to just explain. Now, Debs is the other half of the VO Social Oxford team with me, so we know each other quite well.
We do, yes. We've spent several lovely evenings
Several drunken
together
evenings together.
Lovely drunken, yes, same difference.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, as you know, Debs lives in Oxford. She's an Oxford-based voice artist specialising in character work and narration along with commercial and e-learning. And she particularly enjoys working on audio dramas and has lent her voice to several podcasts, including the Cryopod Tapes, the Space Buccaneers, and her own podcast, Vamps, the fourth and final series of which was released at the end of 2023.
Yes, more about that later, I'm sure. Debs has a theatrical background with a BTEC in Performing Arts and a BA in Drama. As well as being a voice artist, she's a writer with recent credits including Death's Door for Evcol Entertainment and Window of Opportunity for Clockwork Digital Media. Debs, do you have a fun fact that you can share with us?
I do have a fun fact that I can share with you. And this fun fact, I was trying to come up with a fun fact that I don't tell people very often. So this is, I've gone way back. I was the 1992 Broadbridge Heath Gala Princess.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. Did you have a prince as well?
There were no princes. Oh. I was a princess all on my own, out in the world.
I mean, to be fair, that's the best way to be, I would have thought.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely a princess out in the world on your own.
The only slight thing was, so I opened the village fete and I got to put the medals round the necks of the sweaty fun runners at the end, and that was very perplexing, age 9, but there you go.
That was my next question. How old were you when this happened?
I was 9.
That's cute. It's cute. It's cute.
Yeah. So, but yeah, and then we'd been moving house for about 4 years at this point, and my parents finally sold the house, and so a couple of months into my reign, I was whisked off to Devon.
Oh, no.
And the runner-up took over, and she got to light the bonfire and do all the fun things that I wanted to do. So... yeah, it was my reign was short but beautiful, you know.
Short but beautiful. Aww. Amazing. So on that, let's have a look at our first script of the show and ask, how do you say that?
Play How Do You Say That?
All right, gang. Well, this is something that I've been working on in the last 2 weeks. This is an audio tour, or part of an audio tour, for a place in Belgium. And they got me to play a character who was kind of a workman back, I think the year was 1473. So it's kind of a Renaissance workman. So horse and cart style.
Renaissance workman. I'm a Renaissance workman.
I think that's how they put it. Yeah, okay. I was given the original Flemish version to listen to.
Ah, okay.
And they were making an English version of it as well. They made about 7 different language versions of it, which is really clever. So I heard the Flemish version before I did it and did it on a directed session with the director at the other end. And we did it really quickly because I'd already listened to the Flemish version. So that was
And good. That was helpful, presumably,
yeah, really
to get
helpful,
the tone
yeah.
and the idea of it. Yeah.
So it's quite exertion loaded, this clip.
It is, isn't it?
So they are hoisting things up onto the back of a cart.
Right. With somebody else, or is he solo?
There is someone else, but you only hear from him.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. And you've left in the things, like, in brackets, mimicking, sarcastic.
Yes. So when they say, isn't that the magistrate's hat? The magistrate character is over-pompous about everything. So this character does a kind of over-pompous mimic of that.
Oh, I see. For the next line. Oh, I see. Oh, gosh. Okay, that's very interesting.
So there, yeah.
Right then, I suppose you want me to go first, don't you?
I'd love that, thanks.
Right then.
And you can probably do any accent you want, actually.
Well, that is the accent of the day, I think.
I love it. All right, my love.
I'm just getting in there. Okay, then. Right. Okay. Oh, the headmaster chair and the bench of the 7 aldermen and here, the bench for the rich gentlemen of the guilds. Oh, and isn't that the magistrate's hat? Luxury cloth, exclusive and hard wearing.
That sounded a bit evil, that laugh.
I love it.
It wasn't right. The laugh wasn't right.
Come on, Frederick, let's go. We can come back later for the steward's furniture.
Lovely. Very nice. I thought the extra character build there was wonderful. But I got the exertion. The exertion
Did
was I could feel you hoisting the stuff up onto the horse and cart. It comes back to everything you always say, Sam, doesn't it? With the motivation there, it's easier to bring the character, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is, because at first, when I just read that through, I thought maybe it was sort of getting the horse to hurry up. I wondered if it was...
No.
But it's not.
I think that's just the translation, maybe. Yeah. You could easily go, heave, or whatever, to be honest. So I think that was just the translation within the script. What did you think, Debs?
I thought that was lovely.
It was lovely.
I really liked that, because I was like... How do you say hup in that was because I was going to go very literal with it, but actually the hup, it was like that kind of worked really nicely. Mm. You got the exertion and the kind of little characterizations and the little laughs. The second laugh was better, I thought. Yeah,
true, although I
quite like the evil laugh. It was like,
I quite like the evil laugh.
How much do you not like the magistrate? Are you going to come back and get some revenge?
Indeed. And I guess there are a whole bunch of different ways you could have approached that character.
Well, yes, absolutely. I mean, I suppose in this situation, I'm just kind of taking the first character that came into my head. So, which is not always the best character, it has to be said. Oh. So, there are a number of ways. So I'll be very interested to see which character you chose.
Okay.
So, Debs.
Let's hear what you're going to do with it.
Alrighty then, let's go. The headmaster's chair? Bench of the 7 aldermen and here. Bench for the rich gentlemen of the guilds. And, isn't that the magistrate's hat? Luxury cloth, exclusive and hard-wearing. Come on, Frederick, let's go. We can come back later for the steward's furniture.
Nice. Nice.
Lovely.
You could tell that they were really taking the piss out of the magistrate there.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you definitely nailed that bit.
You kind of went West Country as well. I'm not sure whether I think that kind of is...
I don't know what we were thinking.
Yeah. Well, I kind of anything like that, because I grew up in North Devon, so I automatically, that's just my go-to accent. So I think, anybody doing anything, I'm like, all right, proper job, bit of cider on the go after this.
I like it.
Straight down into it. So I was like, should I go something different? Because obviously I didn't want to, but then it was like, well.
Well, why not? No, no, no.
Why absolutely. Not?
It brought a certain authenticity to it as well.
Yeah.
I have to say I didn't go West Country.
Good. I'm glad you didn't.
I didn't think West Country. And now I've got to try and get your reads out of my head.
Yes, that's true. Yes.
Now I was like, how did I do it again? How did I do it? Shall I show you?
Well, yes.
Go for it.
All right. Oh, headmaster's chair! Oh, the bench of the seven aldermen! Oh, and here, the bench for the rich gentlemen of the guilds! Oh, isn't that the magistrate's hat? Oh, luxury cloth, exclusive and hard-wearing! Come on, Frederick, let's go. We can come back for the steward's furniture.
Lovely.
Nice.
So, I mean, that was lots of exertion there.
I am so lightheaded now. I can't even believe it. I nearly didn't get the third line out.
Do you know, and on that read, that made me think, you know, you kind of have to read something a number of times. Mm. That bit at the end, we can come back for the steward's furniture. Would he still be knackered at that point, I wonder?
Probably.
You know, oh, we can come back later. You know, there's almost a comedic element to, look, I'm not doing any more lifting at this point.
There's another scene where he's being a stonemason and chipping stone and lifting big, big blocks of stone as well. So I suspect that he's used to that.
Yeah, no, I loved your effort, Noisy, because you kept them going through the whole of the line as well.
Yeah,
I
was really imagining, you know, throwing it onto the back of the horse and cart.
Yes.
It was interesting hearing the final Flemish version because you heard the horse and the cart and the neighing and all of that and the exertion from the horse as well as this great stuff is put onto the horse and cart. And the Flemish actor who was brilliant, he sounded brilliant, had done the exertion all the way through. So I kind of mimicked that.
Yes, I mean, that must have been very useful.
Very helpful. And you don't often get that, let's face
it.
No.
I wonder if I would have been as exerted had I just had the script and nothing else to go on.
And you brought it to life more than, you brought it to life more than we did because you did keep that exertion going all the way through. So that it was, you know, definitely much more of a scene. Yeah.
And now that poor little horse has to go off with all that stuff in his cart. Poor little horse. Poor little horsey.
Poor little horsey.
How do you say that?
It's worthwhile remembering that these are real scripts we've been working on, but we've changed the names and some of the details to avoid copyright issues.
Indeed we have. So, Debs, do you want to tell us about the script that you've brought in? Because this is quite close to your heart, isn't it, this one?
It is. So this is something that I actually wrote myself. It's from my own podcast, Vamps, which we mentioned earlier.
Yes, which is available on all good podcast platforms. And I will also do the link in the show notes for you.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. I was about to say that.
Don't worry. I'm good. I'll do it for you.
It's wonderful. I like this. I should maybe get a publicist or something. I wrote that. I performed it myself. I do all the characters myself, which means that as a writer, one of my favourite things is actually handing scripts over to the actors and hearing what they do and how they interpret it. And it's a lovely moment. It's a terrifying moment, don't get me wrong, but it's really fun to hear what people do. And because I perform this myself, of course, I never got to have that moment. So I thought it would be lovely to hear guys do with it. So,
interesting. Can you give us a bit of backstory and who the character is?
Absolutely. So this little extract we're going to get is Glizelda. The first thing to know about this, so you may have gleaned from the title Vamps, is that they're all vampires.
Yes.
So
I got that. Yeah.
That's yes. That's very, very probably the most important piece of information. So this is Glizelda. She's the matriarch of the family. She lives with her sisters, Mariana, Ophelia and Jean. They're all, Glizelda's about 900 years old and the others are, she's the oldest and then the others are kind of...
Is she wizened as well with that, or are they vampires that stay young?
They're vampires that stay young.
Okay.
The lovely thing about vampires is, of course, you can have these terribly, terribly old characters in terms of their actual age, but who are biologically quite young. So
yes.
Glizelda's probably, you know, in her late 20s, early 30s.
Oh, okay. Oh, young.
She's,
then. You know,
she's quite young, but she's... It's and also, you know, you've also got the fun thing about, you know, in those days, of course, people didn't live as long. So you're what we would think of. So she's probably in modern money, I suppose, probably more like 40s.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a really, I get very geeky about that.
So you do all the characters, Debs?
I do. Amazing.
And is that quite a challenge to get the difference between them all?
Yeah. So it's. I've not only got to think of the character themselves and how they might sound and how they might speak, but I've also got to make sure that I differentiate the voice.
Yeah,
of course.
And all, annoyingly, what I should have done is given them all different accents. But when I wrote this originally, I actually wrote it as a stage play. Mm. So they're all kind of roughly from the same area. So I've got to really modulate my voice.
Yeah, of course.
This was the first thing I did as a voice artist, and it was a bit of an experiment to see. And it was what got me into doing it. So the first series is it's very special to me because it's what set me off for my voice journey.
So what kind of, apart from her age and the fact that she's the matriarch of the family, what kind of a person is she? Is she quite confident, or is she quite how would you describe her?
She's quite controlling. She likes to be in control.
Right.
And she likes to think of herself as being very noble, and, you know, she is Lady Griselda Garsley.
Right. Okay. Yeah, okay.
And
yeah.
So she's very much, she's in charge, and her the rest of the characters very often kind of take the power away from her. And, you know, so she's one of those characters that operates on a base level of fury and then just gets more livid.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Things go
to know.
Horribly wrong.
And is she talking to the rest of the family, or to who?
She's talking to, so it's just been, as I say, she's Lady Griselda Garsley, and she's been Lady Griselda Garsley for the best part of a millennium, but it's just come to light that actually she's not the original Lady Griselda Garsley, and the person they've been living with as Lady Griselda Garsley for a number of centuries actually isn't, and they've just found out that actually, she assumed the identity of Lady Griselda Garsley.
And, I can imagine the fury
out
then.
Who she is. Oh,
okay.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Oh, no, that's good backstory there. Am I heading first on this one?
You are,
Sam?
Heading first, yeah.
Right. Okay. So, fury, noble. All right. Okay. Let's see what I can bring to this. Wish me luck.
Okay.
Actually, I am from a noble family. Thank you very much. My family held this land for generations, but after the conquest, it was confiscated, handed over to those vile Normans. And they knocked down our family home and built this castle in its place. The conquest happened a little before my time, of course, but I'm told my poor grandfather never recovered. We were supposedly lucky because we were allowed to carry on living here. Lucky to be carried on living, full stop, actually.
Ooh, very superior.
Oh, lovely.
Quite angry, actually. You were quite angry.
Mm. Angry and superior. That's what I got from noble and full of fury. So I hope that came across a bit.
Yes. Yeah, no, it did. Absolutely.
Yes, no. Yeah,
enraged, I think.
You were. Which is very Griselda.
You're inhabiting Griselda.
Sam, I'm fascinated to see what you might do with it.
Well, me too. Right, let's have a go. Okay. Actually, I am from a noble family, thank you very much. My family held this land for generations, but after the conquest, it was confiscated, handed over to those vile Normans, and they knocked down our family home and built this castle in its place. Oh, the conquest happened a little before my time, of course, but I am told my poor grandfather never recovered. We were supposedly lucky because we were allowed to carry on living here. Lucky to be allowed to carry on living, full stop, actually.
I love how posh you went with that. And that went through my mind when you were talking about the character, Debs. And that for me worked really nicely.
Yeah, I love the kind of the softness in your voice as well. It was very kind of...
The fury is understated, isn't it?
It was simmering. I loved that.
Because you'd done your open fury, Mark, I thought I'd try and do a kind of closed off fury.
Yeah.
But so I might have made a different choice had you not gone first, if you see what I mean.
But I think it it worked. I think that, that the bubbling under was really obvious that you were angry. Well, that really came across.
Although it did break in the middle, I deliberately kind of made it.
Well, a bit before my time. Obviously, I'm not that old.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It was prim
I'm
and
only
proper.
2000 and
yes, yeah, quite. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I like that. There's a lot you can play with, actually, Debs, isn't there?
Yes, there is. There is. And it's because I've had these characters in my head for about 7 years now. So
that must be quite difficult to hear someone else do them then.
Yeah, I hope we didn't disappoint.
Yeah. No, not at all. No. Not at all. It's fascinating because I've kind of really only got like one way of doing it, kind of like it's so ingrained for me
of
now.
Course,
so it's really interesting to kind of hear you guys doing it. And I liked that softness. I really liked that.
So I'm dying to know what she's like then.
Okay. All right. Actually, I am from a noble family, thank you very much. My family held this land for generations, but after the conquest, it was confiscated, handed over to those vile Normans, and they knocked down our family home and built this castle in its place. The conquest happened a little before my time, of course, but I'm told my poor grandfather never recovered. We were supposedly lucky because we were allowed to carry on living here. Lucky to be allowed to carry on living, full stop, actually.
Nice. Oh, there was a touch of Queen to that.
Yes, definitely.
The Queen, Elizabeth II. Yeah. It's like, interesting. And quite quick in your delivery there as well.
Yes, quite brisk.
Again, that's a difference between, because Mariana, I'll give you a bit of Mariana. So Mariana is also quite, she's quite slow and low.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to contrast with her, because Zelda just talks up here and talks quite fast all the time. So it's a contrast thing as well.
And if you're not doing geographical differences, it's those kind of tonal differences and speed differences that absolutely make the characters different, isn't it?
Or those, or them bringing their teeth in or nasal or, and there's so many sort of different things. Wow, amazing.
Yeah, really fascinating. Thanks for bringing that.
Oh, thank you so much. I loved hearing you guys doing that. That was so cool.
And of course, now we get to do it all over again.
We do.
Because here is the wild card bit.
Excellent.
So let's see if we can approach these a little bit differently.
Mm.
So, Debs, I think you are picking one for Mark.
Yes.
Okay. So, I would like you to do a real kind of charity commercial vibe.
And thank you.
Hard sell / tug on the heartstrings for script one.
Oh, golly. Wow.
Gosh.
That is difficult.
I like your style, Debs. I like your style.
I mean, I've done quite a lot of charity commercials, so I wonder... I wonder.
You always manage to do it, though. Mark.
Okay, here we go. Hup, the headmaster's chair. Hup, the bench of the 7 aldermen. And here, the bench for the rich gentlemen of the guilds. And isn't that the magistrate's hat? Luxury cloth, exclusive and hard-wearing. That's what we need for our efforts. Come on, Frederick, let's go. We can come back later for the steward's furniture. And thank you.
I've already donated.
Have you donated already?
I've got the checkbook out.
I've texted Frederick.
I think the beginning worked better. I got to luxury cloth and it kind of, I didn't quite know where to go with it because that's always the call to action.
You did pick up the pace there at that point, I felt.
Yeah, I could see the bench for the rich gentleman. In effect, you're saying, and here is the poor blind dog.
Oh my God.
In the advert, you know? It's that kind
of
thing.
You never know where he's going to go, Debs, honestly.
I really liked the, and isn't that the magistrate's hat? I thought that was beautiful.
There was a sadness in that, I think.
Well, I hope I brought some kind of charity feel to
you
it.
You did. Mm-hmm. And that's no mean feat, actually, using a script that is
nothing to do with it. Exactly. Not even a commercial script,
So to be able to do that, magistrate's hat's off to you, mate. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Right, so Sam, you've got to suggest one for Debs now, I think.
I have. And I would like you, Debs, to be a comely, flirty barmaid.
Ooh. Okay.
You're pulling pints at this point, and you're talking to the regulars. However you like to talk to the regulars. I would actually like you to do your script, because that's tough for you.
Yeah.
Because you know it well. But I would like you to be very different. So not Griselda-y at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Comely, flirty barmaid.
Actually, I am from a noble family, thank you very much. My family held this land for generations, but after the conquest, it was confiscated, handed over to those vile Normans, and they knocked down our family home and built this castle in its place. The conquest happened a little before my time, of course, but I'm told my poor grandfather never recovered. We were supposedly lucky because we were allowed to carry on living here. Lucky to be allowed to carry on living, full stop, actually.
And no, I'm not going to get those crisps on the bottom shelf.
So. You can pull your own pint now, yeah.
Very nice.
What did you see? What did you see as you were doing that? What were you envisioning?
I was kind of miming pulling a pint and, you know, just chatting over the bar and, you know.
Nice.
Yeah, trying to be comely and flirty.
Comely and flirty. Well, you did a very good comely, flirty job.
You did, indeed. You. Absolutely. Now, Sam, it comes to you.
Oh, Lordy, what are you going to give me?
Now, the interesting thing is I wrote mine down before we began recording the episode.
Yes, and...
So I'd already written Evil Queen, so I'm not going to give you the Griselda script.
Okay, no,
because that would be too close. I have written Evil Queen riding a horse.
Oh, gosh, over the headmaster's chair.
Yeah, exactly.
As it's you
like,
do.
I don't know quite how that's going to come about, but just a thought. So I think with the headmaster's chair script, yes.
Blimey, so Evil Queen. I wonder what she's doing, this Evil Queen, and why she's on this horse. Okay.
Ah, the headmaster's chair. The bench of the seven aldermen and... Oh, here. The bench for the rich gentlemen of the guilds. One moment, please. Just up on my steed. Isn't that the magistrate's hat I can see from here? Oh, yes. Such luxury cloth, exclusive and hard wearing. Go! Come on, Frederick. Let's go. We can come back later for the steward's furniture. Farewell!
I got Evil Queen there, blimey.
That was brilliant.
I was thinking at the beginning, I was thinking, oh, that's a quiet horse. But you hadn't actually got on the horse by that point. So that was all part of it. I liked that.
Did you? I'm not sure I was evil enough by the end. I think by the end I lost it. In getting on the horse and galloping away, I felt I didn't retain my evilness.
Do you know what? I think Frederick was the horse, though.
Definitely.
Frederick was the name of the horse, wasn't it?
For sure.
Yeah. I love it. Well, if you want to play along on these scripts in the privacy of your own booths, we've put them in the show notes so you can have a try yourself.
Yes, absolutely. You certainly can. And our question this week is, Debs, as a writer, do you start with the story or the characters first?
Ooh.
And is that the same approach to voice acting?
It really depends on the project. Mm-hmm. Quite often, I tend to start with a concept, and then out of that, I'll either get the characters first or I'll get the story first. But I tend to have start with a concept. So Vamps, just taking that as an example, that was characters first.
Mm-hmm.
That
okay.
I got the concept of these vampires trapped in a castle together. And it kind of grew from there. So that was the characters were the first thing in my head. But there's other things that I've done that have been, I'll build the world and then populate it. And it really depends on the project.
Yeah, so it's interesting. If you go character first, you then have to create the world around the characters. So if those characters exist, what does the rest of the world have to be like to support those characters? That's a different inside out, isn't it? Yeah,
absolutely. So it's interesting. If it's world first, you can kind of cut characters and take them in and out and mess around with it. Whereas if you've got the characters first, then you kind of, yeah, it's always like one or the other is always kind of like your less movable, less easy to move.
I get the feeling that some of your writing, Debs, is much more character based though. So it is the characters pop into your head and they are fully fleshed, and then it's what to do with them.
Yes. No, Vamps is definitely like that. When I was writing the latest series, it's like they're because the girls are in my head chatting all the time. It's a scary place, my head. It's a very scary place.
Yeah, I can tell. Full of crazy characters.
Yeah, and they just bicker away and I write it down and I think, oh, that's quite a good quip. And Griselda's like, well, of course it was.
Do you write in character?
Yeah, I do. My neighbours have the lovely, lovely joy of hearing me through the wall chatting away to myself in a lot of different voices.
Wow.
If I've done my job as a writer, then all the information about the character should be on the page. So there shouldn't be a situation where an actor picks it up and totally misinterprets. But with obviously within what's in the page, there's always another way. There's so many ways in which you can bring a character to life. So what's really magical is when you get an actor who gets the script, gets the project, and then just brings this whole other level to it. Yeah. I had one time that we did a reading with one of my scripts, and this guy was finding jokes in there that I hadn't even realised I'd written, and it was wonderful. Yeah. I was like, oh, I'm quite good, aren't I?
Obviously, I work a lot with Ev Cole, who you also work with, and we don't get to see the writer or meet the writers. We get the scripts, and we might interact as actors. And rehearse and then record. And so we're kind of making our own assumptions about things. Mm. When you've got those back, have you heard the stuff that has been done by Ev Cole? Are you always surprised at the interpretations?
So I'm obviously the opposite end of that because I hand the script over to Ev Cole and then I have no say in it. I have no say in casting. Mm. I have no idea who's in it. I don't know what's happening. And I'll just get a file back to say, here it is, the finished product.
Wow.
And it's really exciting because, sometimes there are things that are slightly different. There's one character in Window of Opportunity. The actress who's played the character has got a northern accent, and I hadn't even considered that. And I can't read that script now without hearing it as northern in my head because she's so perfect and does it so well. And I'm like,
amazing.
I would never have thought to go there particularly.
That's the beauty of it, isn't it? Really, is that you know actors can bring lots of different nuances that you weren't expecting and can sort of transform something, you know, usually in a really good way. It's it's very exciting.
Mm.
It's a fascinating discussion with acting on one side and writing on the other. Fascinating to find out about. Debs, thank you so much. Debs Wardle is an amazing person, and we would love you to come to the VO Social Oxford at some point as well, so you can see us both in action at the same time. All of Debs's details can be found in the show notes though.
Yes, and of course we'll also be putting today's scripts in the show notes so that you can have a read yourself. So do please like and subscribe to the podcast so you never miss a glorious episode again.
Yes, and you can also give us a review if you fancy it. But that's it for this week. Thanks again to Debs Wardle. We'll be back next week with more scripts and another voiceover guest when, Debs, this is the bit where we do it all together.
Okay.
When we'll be asking...
How do you say that?
How do you say that?
How do you say that?